of nowhere.
All right, Mal, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 583. Jason Lindgren is with me, and Fortune to St. Germain returns to answer questions that were submitted by subscribers. We got a lot to get through. Welcome, Jason.
And a very warm and beautiful good morning.
Welcome back, Fortune.
Oh, my great pleasure to be here. So this is Old Owl to Young Crow, and I say to the great listeners with golden hearts, welcome to the Golden Castle, end of the world where the rainbow begins.
All righty. Well, I think you have a couple things that you want to mention before we get in. Make sure you keep your mic up close, please.
And as we begin, some basics for review. Now, remember, dear friends, they're called Universal Spiritual Troops. Young Crow, tell the audience why they're called Universal Spiritual Truths.
Because they're universal, they're spiritual, and they're true.
Excellent. That was a writing question without any choices. You had to get it right on the first one. And he did. And no, the answers were not given before. My dear friends, one, I quote Lord Krishna, one kind heart is worth more than all of the gold in the world. So we begin with this. And I say that to you, kind friends with golden hearts. The universe was created on an eternal promise in one loving whisper. There was no Big Bang. Evolution is based not on competition, but on cooperation. We've done this before, and here we go again. The birthrights of the human soul are joy, love, and success. In order to achieve them, you need to work with universal consciousness. Karma. There is no such thing as good or bad karma. Those are misnomers. Karma means unfinished business. Karma means lessons, which are to be learned in joy or suffering. The choice is yours. The moment is all positive and infinite. As far as you go into the moment, you can always go deeper. The moment was created for you. The moment is all positive if only we allow it to be. And you are anchoring yourself in the moment, which we're all going to need to do as things get stranger and stranger, is going to be your key to success. Ah, and now we go to the famous credo of the third dimension. Is there anyone out there who would like to volunteer the credo of the third dimension?
Funny you should ask. I've actually been working on that, but I'll give you the credo as it was given to me. Love God with all your heart, serve others selflessly, be the best you can be. But I've been applying sacred geometry to that. I guess I'll talk to you about that later, but I've modified it to fit me.
And that is the credo of the third dimension, and that's all you need. And to know that the moment is your only home. When you know that, the moment is your only home, and you know the credo of the third dimension, living it in your heart, all of the universe is yours. Now, my dear young friends out there, on a very serious note, time is of the essence, as I've said before, because they're winning. And they're only winning because the vast majority is allowing this by giving over consent and giving over their power. There is no significant resistance anywhere in the world. And now, as we've spoken before, there is nowhere to run or to hide anymore. Therefore, we must stand and deliver wherever we find ourselves at this time. We have to hope and pray that they trip themselves up or shoot themselves in the foot. So everyone out there who wishes to be an alchemist, because we are all alchemists in training, in your meditations, remember, do Master Choa's Twin Hearts meditation daily. Pray for divine intervention. Your prayers are more powerful than you ever can realize or ever know, because they do echo in eternity and infinity. So whatever you do during the day, pray for divine intervention that this does not come to pass. For the greatest prayer is made in the most out-of-the-way church or synagogue by the poorest people with the most fervent prayer.
is made by the poorest people in the most out-of-the-way place, in the most humble church or synagogue and mosque. Now, what we all are going to need at this time, and I'm giving you all the way out of this, it's a way to escape this, even though you don't move from where you are. So as the Buddha said, the immovable spot, you don't have to move where you are. You just stand and let the storm pass. We need the armor of God, which is faith and prayer. But they're not worth much if they're not coupled with good works and charity. So what I'm saying here is you need to put them into, you need to lock them in with action, because God helps those who help themselves. What happens in your house is more important than what happens in the White House or Buckingham Palace. Now, I did some research for everybody on the show, because these are, you're all a group of scholars here, and you give me my homework. So I'm going to give you the answer to something that very few people have. 2025 is the cutoff year, and they just might pull this off if people don't stand up and do something. 2025 is a win for them because it is Saturnic numerology. It is dark numerology, and remember, Saturn is Kronos. So that is the win year for them based on those numbers of 20 and 25. Saturnic numerology is satanic numerology. And please do not give in to fear, because the darkness only has the power that you give it. The darkness has no power. The darkness preys on the light. It preys on the innocent. So as we talk about Tolstoy, Tolstoy said, the meek do inherit the earth, 6 feet of it. Make sure you do not inherit those 6 feet. Stand up and do something. The darkness loves the innocent and the meek because it preys on them. The jackals at the top are gaslighting the world by telling us that humanity is the cause of all the problems in this world, that you did this. That's not true. The world was polluted and defiled by the industrialists and the governments. You had no rule in this. Do not believe it for a second. Now, in order to escape all of this, I ask all of you to do every day, there is the disconnect prayer. It's a downward blue tornado counterclockwise. You breathe in the blue energy. Remember, everything you breathe into your heart comes from the root chakra and the crown, and it meets in your heart. The marriage of Mother, Father, God on earth, the marriage of heaven and earth at the same time. Once you breathe that in, you breathe it out, and you bless Mother Earth and all humanity. And if you want to be a real brave soul, Mother Earth and all life in this realm, because you are a protector of souls and lives. You cherish and love all living things. So as you breathe out that energy and you do the downward tornado in blue for yourself, you pray and invoke to disconnect Mother Earth and all life from all negativity, past, present, and future. And the prayer is, Divine Mother, Father, God, to the Supreme God, teach us your path, show us your ways, and guide us in your truth. For you are the Supreme God, my Mother, Father, and my faith is in you every infinite moment long. Once you do that, you have disconnected yourself and your soul from all negativity, past, present, and future. And then the next part is that you breathe in the blue and the violet the same way it meets in your heart. It's faith, which is purple from the crown, and blue, which is truth from the throat chakra. And that is in a clockwise direction upward. And then once you do that, you breathe that out and you bless Mother Earth and all life with divine protection from all negativity, past, present, and future. And when you finish each invocation, no matter what it is that you do, what locks it in is This is what it is and infinitely more, because every moment and all of our good actions are what they are and infinitely more. So let's not be jaded like the sophists out there and say it is what it is. A spiritual person says it is what it is and infinitely more. And just to give you a little heads up, which we've done before, if you don't judge it and you don't fear it, it cannot hurt you. So without judgment and fear, you bypass all of the negativity. So keep that in mind, and then there is no harm for the human soul. A bit of comedy with a bit of seriousness at the same time. Now, as you all know, as a doctor, the bird flu is absolutely terrible, because in the United States, there are millions of birds visiting doctors complaining of a sore throat and fever. And that's how we know that the birds have the flu, because they're flying into doctors' offices everywhere telling us that they're sick. Now, here is the truth. There is no such thing as the bird flu. And animal viruses do not jump from humans to from animals to humans. There are only four viruses, including Lassa, which is a very deadly virus, that do jump from animals to humans. And even though they do jump, it's still very rare. Okay, so I don't know how these morons who keep telling you that the birds have flu know that the birds have flu. And that should be the tip off for you. They're just snuffing out life all over the world. And please, my dear friends, the blood supply from the vaccination are contaminated worldwide. Do not take any transfusions unless you absolutely have to. And if you must, store your own blood. And no needles for any reason. Find yourself a very good country doctor or humble general practitioner and rely on them. Stay out of the hospitals. The blood supply has been poisoned by the vax, and stay away from all vaccines and needles at anywhere at any time, because in the flu vaccine, they're also putting the COVID vaccine. From some past shows, the mystery schools and the secret societies, they don't know that much. And you don't need them. So any of the mystery schools and these schools that are closed to the general public, they're not offering you that much and they don't know that much. So don't think any of the great mystery schools or the people that were out there that said that they know so much that they didn't know, because they really didn't. Now, since you are all out there studying to be alchemists, the glass is always half full. And we work, as the universe works, on alchemy, infinity, and miracle. So we are all going to turn chaos to oneness. And we're going to need to do that at this time if we want to achieve the fifth world of peace instead of the common dystopia that they are foisting upon us. So see, be still, walk on water, parting of the Red Sea and fishes and loaves are all of the miracles that we are able to work. And I quote the greatest alchemist of all time, Master Jesus, who said, "Greater than I shall you all do." So remember to pray to the Supreme God, which is the Divine Mother Father, the center of all creation. We are not going to pay any attention to the darkness of Egypt that is encompassing the world. Because as remember, Moses led the Hebrew children out of Egypt. So we are going to go out from under the darkness of Egypt into the fifth world of peace, which is your birthright. And those are these hints that I gave you. The golden ray that hit the planet exactly when the Mayans said it would in 2012, going in from the 23rd to the 24th of Christmas Eve, that was the ray of discernment and judgment, not punishment, but the ray of who made their decision. And as I had told you, my visitation by Mother Mary, she had promised in April of 2001 that we will all one day live in a new spiritual pre-industrial world. that people will know how to relate to each other again, where we all will know sharing and caring. So as I recall now, which we've never spoken about, and then we're going to go into the questions, I met a very frenetic man at a bank in Dublin, Ireland, in 2019 of August. And I don't know whether it was a real person or not, or it might have been someone from somewhere else with a message, but the message was still the same and valid, that he said nothing made sense anymore and nothing was real, but he still had credit and money in the bank, and he would still be able to live the way he wanted and do with it as he could and should and wanted to. And that was a message for us all of what was coming in 2020 of March, where they locked the world down. So even though things do not make sense anymore and everything is topsy-turvy, when you have credit in the bank with God, with the Supreme Divine Mother Father, you can never fail. So prayer and faith, remember, my friends, coupled with charity and good deeds, because the magic doesn't work without the good deeds and action. God helps those who help themselves. Now let us begin with your very kind, great question.
All righty. Thank you for all that fortune. And Jason, let's jump in. We've got a lot to get through.
Why is pregnancy and the postpartum period so tough for women? Obviously, there are hormones at play, but what spiritual reasons are there for mental and emotional negativity? The postpartum period feels like a veil has been dropped and evil spirits are attacking from every angle.
Well, giving birth to a child is a selfless act. It's a spiritual act as well. So what you, like we said, what you make of that, what you make of anything in life is what it becomes. So I don't know exactly why, but that is just the way it is, that in labor there is pain, and maybe it talks about the self-sacrifice we have as we live our lives and we give love and kindness to another human soul, which requires work while raising them. And it is a painful process, and it does throw the hormones out of work. Particularly why it has to be that way and is that way, I cannot answer you. But there are things that you can do after giving birth to the child. I would say it's a selfless act and an act of self-sacrifice to bring a child into the world. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what side we look at it, carrying that child for the 9 months and then giving it out to the world and then letting it go on its way when it finally grows up. This is a mystery. It's a mystery for me, and it's a mystery I don't think that there is an answer to. And perhaps only the divine creator, the female aspect of God, may have an answer to. But I tell you this, I make you a promise that I will meditate on this, and I will have an answer for you in a future one. But there are things that you can do afterwards. And I know many women go into the postpartum depression and it becomes very, very hard to crawl out of. Meditation, joy, a lot of vitamin C afterwards. Throw in some vitamin E with that as well. And what you can do, the angels are telling me, when you raise the child, look at the raising of, as I'm speaking to you now, I'm getting some answers. When you look at the raising of the child in that first year or two, a helpless child that has nobody to turn to, do not let the child cry and sleep in the crib crying at night. You must wake up and nurture the child. It's a selfless act. The more selfless you are and the greater you look at the act of raising that child and taking care of it after you have it, will help with the postpartum depression. The joy in everything is in every moment, the zen of raising the child and the rapture of loving and caring that child and bringing a new soul onto the planet will greatly, greatly help you. And just remember, here's another message. One of the things that is, I'm just listening as I'm speaking, the angels and the master say, because you are giving a good part of yourself in sacrifice to bring another life into this world, that is why it takes a lot of your hormones out and gives to the child. And that's your hormones are not producing as they are afterwards. And it takes a while for them to bounce back. So that's what postpartum depression is about.
You know, in our time, it should be clear to everybody that the act of bringing new life into the world has been successfully attacked at some level. I imagine in 10 years, the Japan we've known will not be the Japan we see. I'm not sure if their birth rate is in negative numbers, but Jason and I covered some of the early roots of this when it was undercover with Women's Lib movement and other things. If you've seen the movie Children of Men, that is a tip of the hat to the agenda to reduce childbirth. But anyhow, we've got to keep moving here, Jason. I should shut up.
Do you have any advice for one to be reborn so that one can die before they die, so when they die, they will not die and ascend on to the next level of energy? And does the alchemical process of making gold into a white powder help? Is that real?
The monoatomic or powdered gold does something, but it doesn't do as much as you think it does.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but you had firsthand experience with that, if I remember one of our conversations.
That is correct. Go on.
And I remember you telling me that there was something to it, but that it didn't stand up to all the braggadocious claims that have been assigned to it.
The original Saint Germain did not ingest gold. The moment that we live in is the gold or the platinum moment. Now, the Christ Buddha vibration beyond that is the platinum vibration. Forget the gold of this world. Your soul is the golden moment in connection with the divine moment. That is the marriage of Mother, Father, God, heaven on earth. You don't need the monoatomic gold because it really doesn't do that much. The golden moment is all powerful. It's the infinite moment. We need to learn to live more on the holy breath, bringing, as we talked about. Now, this is too simple for most people. That's why people like these crazy mystery schools. They're not offering you that much. Everything meets in your heart. The marriage of Mother, Father, God on earth, of heaven and earth, is in your heart through the crown and the root chakra. When you breathe in and you mix it in your heart, that is the true birth and rebirth of the soul. So when Jesus was talking about a man being reborn, Nicodemus, he was talking about spiritual rebirth, which is your second chakra, your soul chakra in the front and your kundalini in the back. So that comes through the heart. Your chi is actually built. The first part is through the heart, and then you direct the energy to the soul chakra under your navel and the kundalini in the back. And that is the rebirth when you agree to serve, to live in the moment and give up the desire of this world, the desire that is not real, the Maya, as they call it. And just to let you know, those who are out there on the Christian philosophy, Nicodemus is a very, very special person, because in the Catholic Church, he is the only person that has the title Defender of Christ. So from someone who grew up in the church and, you know, took communion and the stations of the cross, which the Christians are right, we must all walk the stations of the cross in our life. We must all have the veil of tears here on earth, as, you know, the Master Jesus walked. Because some of these things that we are offered through suffering are actually gifts, because we tend, when we meet physicality, we tend to be wise guys and want the desire instead of the good. And we are tempted by it, which is the temptation of Adam and Eve. And we all have that. And that's the ebb and flow of energy, duality. So when you are reborn through the agreement to be reborn from animal man, as Professor Joseph Campbell said, into divine man, that is the rebirth. That is the actual resurrection on earth. So at this time, which is most important, because the darkness is greater on this planet than ever before, you must focus on the resurrection and not the crucifixion. So the resurrection is the rebirth, metaphorically and physically, of animal man to divine man. And there you go.
All right, Jason, the next one's going to cover a book that we've talked about called Diary of a Yogi by Yogananda. Fortune and I have talked quite a bit about this, and truth be told, I was aware of the book, but what Fortune said to me one day led me to get a copy and read it. It is a very interesting read. It is a unique read, and I would recommend everyone read it because it gives you an interesting point of view. Jason?
In Diary of a Yogi, how veracious do you consider to be the chapter in which Sri Yukteswar comes back from death and describes to Yogananda the afterlife?
I don't remember that exact part, but I will say this to you. You have visitations by the ascended masters in your dreams, and some of them actually come down in physicality in daily life. As Lady Nadia did to me on a subway train, I don't think we've spoken to this. This was in New York City, and it was in 2000, and I think it was in 2003 of June. She looked exactly like she looks from of the pictures. She was an Atlantean teacher. She was a defender of the downtrodden and a lawyer, and she defended the downtrodden and poor in Atlantis. She had blonde hair, and she looked exactly like some of the pictures that have come down. Lady Nadia, the goddess Pallas Athena, was modeled after her, and I was just amazed that she knew which subway car I was going to be in. But you are visited in dreams. Some of you do remember them. So this is not, it takes a great deal of energy, but they do come down and visit to give messages. Mother Mary and Marian visions, Master Jesus in different visions in different places. But there are many, many teachers over the history of this planet that have ascended. I think there are a number about 150,000. And they come down at various times to give messages in various ways through dreams or in physicality. The way you'll know that you're being having a visitation where a master visits you in physicality is they move very slowly and they speak in a sing-song, almost like they're drunk. So if you can't see the energy, you will know through those clues, and they speak metaphorically and actually mystically. So that's what I say to all of you. Speak mystically, walk mystically, and speak mystically through life, because that's all that reality really is. You are all infinite souls who were created by the divine, which is your promise. Your soul belongs to the divine. So it can never be taken or stolen. It can never be captured. So walk and speak mystically throughout the world, and you will be walking on earth like the teachers, the masters walk in the sixth dimension, the Buddhic plane.
All right, a couple things. The reason that I have recommended that people should read this book is it's like the old quote, it might be Twain, travel is fatal to bigotry and narrow-mindedness. When you read the book, you see hints of a society that has a very different relationship with spirituality. And as an example, they cover the Kumbh Mela there, which I think happens every 12 years. I think it is the largest religious gathering, spiritual gathering in the world, many millions of people. But it's an important book, if for no other reason, to get that view of a very spiritually, centrally based culture. Jason?
How would one overcome the fear of death and embrace the next level of consciousness in the afterlife? Knowing death is inevitable, what are steps one can take to help conquer the fear?
What a good question.
Truth and faith and disconnection, as we talked about, from all negativity. Now, the more love you have in your heart, the light is love and love is light. When you used to go to the Christian churches, the Protestant churches, they would have in the Victorian era, God is love.
So light and love are one and the same. The more you meditate and the more self-love you have and the more love you have for this world, you will realize that death itself is an illusion. So we are in an infinite universe, and the creator, all universes have a creator God, and they serve a higher central God. The universe has various and endless dimensions, as I told you before, and I don't understand this, and it's not meant for us to understand. There is a supreme God, but there is not a supreme consciousness. The journey is eternal and infinite. There never was an original beginning, and there never can be a final end. Now, I know these are parables, and this is third dimension consciousness, which is duality. The more you meditate, Master Choa, is his twin hearts is the best I've ever seen. The less fear you will have in your heart. Fear is the true killer. It is what burns out the chi. You can live for inordinate amounts of time on this planet without fear. It is what ages you the most. So do those meditations and invoke for the things that you want that are good from the Divine Mother Father. And the more you do that, the further you will climb with more light and love in your heart, and the less you will fear what is the illusion of death. So as we spoke about, when you pass on and go into the void, we talked about the various choices you have, but you have to know them before you pass on. And I thought about this today, so obviously this was a preparation for this evening's podcast, that being in the void, you have to have the courage of convictions and faith and no fear. But that's basically the same thing you have to do when you live on Earth. So what you do in the void, if you have no fear and you have the courage to create, because that is eternity and infinity in itself, it's the same thing here on Earth. All octaves of spirituality are octaves of enlightenment, if you think about it.
All right. The next question has to do with the Monroe Institute. I think Fortune and I have talked about this. In other words, I'm not certain that Fortune is very aware of the Monroe Institute, but I will say you can go online and you can find people, many, and I have known at least five people who have gone through it. It's impressive. And I will also say that places like the CIA have taken an interest, to say the least. So there is a there. I don't know if there's enough spirituality connected to it, but go ahead, Jason.
I would love to know what Fortune thinks about technologies like Hemisync, developed by Robert Monroe, which synchronizes the left and right hemispheres of the brain and helps induce different states of consciousness. Do you believe this can help someone in developing spirituality?
You know what they're talking about, Fortune, with the Hemisync?
Well, the only thing, you have to live it and know it in your heart. So all of those little meditation fragments we have in the 12 Divine Virtues book that we spoke about, that some of you ordered, those meditation fragments like live simply so that others may simply live. There are some wise guys out there who will say, oh, I read that and I know it. Well, you have to live it in your heart. So what you live in your heart becomes the vibration. You don't need the Temple Beautiful. We are rediscovering vibrations and octaves and frequencies, because that's what the universe is based on, that they knew in the Temple Beautiful on Atlantis, where you could walk in and it would rejuvenate you or make you younger. But you don't need that. You can do that just by your own desire and faith and the vibrations you have during meditation. Now, there is vibrational healing. We talked about homeopathy, which is vibration on the water imprint. There is Rife. There are all different sorts of things out there, as we spoke about, because life and creation and the universe are infinite. So all of these things are good if you use them in the right way. And we talk about the balance of life. So there are many, many things out there. There are herbs, there's homeopathy, there's sound and frequency healing. Or someone like the Buddha or Jesus who would achieve the Christ Buddha vibration where they could touch you and they could heal. And you are all capable of that on your own.
All right. I just want to make sure that it doesn't feel like there's a dodge here. So basically the Hemi-Sync, the one that I'm familiar with, you put on earphones and it puts tones and it activates or is supposed to activate both sides of your brain, this kind of an idea. So Fortune, I think the main question here is that a cheat in your view? So basically someone couldn't get to that level on their own or maybe wasn't trying, but when they did this, they could reach a certain level. I will say what I have noticed from people who have done this is it really did put them on a spiritual path. But I think that's the main idea, Fortune. Is it a cheat or does it help?
I'll answer in this way, which some of you think is a parable or Quran. You only need in this world, you need it if you think you need it. If you believe you need it and you think you need it, then you do need it. But this would be a stepping stone to something higher and better in a time when you do not need it. We all go through various stages of learning. So the higher you will go on the spiritual ladder, the further you will climb on the octaves, the less of this world that you will need. And the more immune you will become to the slings and arrows of suffering of this life. But if you think you need it and it helps you at this point, just like some people ingest monoatomic gold, the powdered gold, if you think you need it, then you do need it. It works because you do believe it. You are all alchemists who have the power to create. You are in co-creation with the divine creator in this world. So just remember, now most people are not going to accept this. The only problems that you dream up on earth are the same as the problems that exist in heaven. The only problems that exist on earth are the same problems that exist in heaven, the ones that you dream up and create for yourselves, except no one in heaven dreams up any problem.
About the Twin Hearts meditation, I've bought the book and started reading it, but something Fortune said concerns me. He said, once you start rising, you will begin to feel separate from most people around you. What does that mean? I don't want to lose the connection I feel to others. Another guest said once you start rising, others around you will be drawn to you and want to follow you. Both ideas seem opposite, but both make sense. Are both of these ideas true?
Well, here we go. As you start rising, you will feel, as you start leaving the old behind, you will start craving and wanting the new. Others will see your light and kindness, and yes, they will gravitate towards you. Sometimes, if you have a lot of light and kindness, it actually hurts and blinds others because they're not used to seeing it, like Jesus and the Buddha. But there are times when you will ask yourself, and please don't ask me why, because I don't know. It's just built in. You'll say, why did I ever sign up for this? Why did I ask for this? Because you will feel a little different from everyone else, and it's because you are different from everyone else. And then you will try and do a backslide spiritually and say, why can't I be like everyone else? And the angels will laugh and say, because you're not like everyone else.
Yeah, I think both of those things are true. Go ahead, Jason.
I think I may have the gift of claircognizance. What are some ways I can develop or exercise this gift to help others?
Well, daily meditation, but that is thought, and there is homework. There are clairaudience, clairvoyance. Help me out here. Clairaudience, clairvoyance, and clairsentience. But we are all claircognizant because we're all part of the greater whole. So I guess claircognizant involves all three at once. All three at once is very, very rare, but some people do have it. And just to answer the person in the last question, claircognizance, when you have all three at once, it does tend to isolate you because you see things very, very differently than most people do. And when you have these talents, and you are developing these talents, which we all have, and they're all birthrights of the human soul, and we all have them in a certain way, you just have to look at the positive side and say, these are gifts, and I'm going to use them to help other people. So Master Chöla used to say, all of these gifts are great, but what good are they if you don't do and use them to go out into the world and make the world a brighter and better place?
You can do a quick search about claircognizance. I have this to some degree, but when you look at how they try to define it, they come up with the basic things like you can easily tell a fake person from a trustworthy, but then they go further saying you love to read, especially nonfiction. Little coincidences occur all the time. You'll be drawn to go to a place, and when you do, something good happens, these kinds of things. You can look it up. There's a lot of information about it. Just be claircognizant of the source.
Before we go a little further, let me just say something. Those who genuinely do have the stigmata, like Padre Pio, he had the side wound and the shoulder wound, which no one else has ever had. The pain is excruciating. If you are a genuine stigmatist, and there aren't many, they don't live very long. Padre Pio lived 30, 40, 50 years after he developed the stigmata. The stigmatists don't live very long, just as many of the people who have the great talents of clair, the three talents in one, clairaudience, clairvoyance, and clairsentience. For some reason, these healers, like Edgar Cayce, they don't live very long lives, and I don't know why. But they're here for a short time, and their time spent here in our realm is short. And I don't know why it is like that, but Padre Pio was the exception, and he did live to be a very old man.
It feels to me like you're describing beyond just claircognizance, though, with that last response.
My friends, I'm not the high priest, so some of you tax me in my knowledge, and the teacher has to go out and do some homework of his own to give more answers to you. We are living third dimension consciousness with free will, which is a mystery in itself. It is not a mystery to the divine creator, but it is a mystery for us. And sometimes it's not for us to understand, but to live, to walk in faith, and to do the right thing. So remember, as spiritual people, we are not interested in being right, but we're interested in doing the right thing. And one of the great moments of spirituality is when you don't understand and you do the right thing anyway. You walk and act in faith and good deeds. But that's what we're supposed to do in every moment.
Right. This next question is about meeting the judge, jury, and executioner. Unfortunately, the executioner has a rusty bent sword that is damaged. Go ahead, Jason.
I try really hard to live my life as a really good person, and I think for the most part I achieve that. However, I have Christian friends who tell me that I'm still going to go to hell for not accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, even though they acknowledge that, yes, I am a very good person. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, there's no such place as hell, so you don't even have to worry about that. That's a concoction that powers that be at various times have made up to suppress humanity and people in their lands or religions from thinking independently. Ultimately, as we hear in this time, heaven and hell is what you make it at this moment. But Eden is here and now. So remember, we spoke about this. We never really left Eden. We're still in Eden. So your birthrights of the human soul. Now, since people say that, and this has been a source of consternation for me for the past few years, I place no reliance on any of the organized religions, since they all closed their temples, churches, and synagogues down and mosques during COVID.
Hear, hear.
The edict of Christ is you cannot lock a church now. Christianity is a great mystical religion, especially Catholicism. You cannot lock a church, which is the edict of Christ. Locking a church is locking the door and closing God in or out. Anyone who locked their churches And this is a warning to those who say they're Christians. Now, you notice the sternness in my voice because this is a message the world needs to hear. In the plague years, those churches were open, people took communion and drank from each other's cup. Judaism is to save one life, is to save the world. That is not Christianity. If you are a Christian, and I'm sorry to tell you this, you need to be willing to be a martyr in the spirit of Christ. To lay down one's life for God and brother, there is no greater love than this. An apostle of Christ is someone who's given up all of his worldly possessions and follows the Christ, Jesus. It is not about owning a home and having mortgages and cars. You must live simply so that others may simply live. Whether you are a Christian or not is not for me to judge. That is between you and God. And how you live and what you do on this earth, how you walk on earth determines whether you are a Christian or not. But I am so sorely disappointed in organized Christianity for locking their doors, because to be a Christian when the world is ending, that is where you're supposed to shine the greatest. And most of these so-called Christians ran and hid under their beds, locked their doors, took the mask, which is what slaves did and what they did to Christians in the Roman Empire. So you have to make your peace with that. I mean, locking your door at the end of the world and then proclaiming you're a Christian. The end of the world is when the Christian's supposed to shine brightest, taking care of brother. And those brothers and nuns in the churches during the plague years, it's called abnegation. They gave over their lives for God and brother, and they died with their brothers, taking care of them and washing them. When the whole world was afraid of lepers and the plague, and these nuns and brothers did it anyway, and they didn't care because they served one true God. And I'm sorry, my voice is breaking because I take this very seriously.
You know, someone wants to come up and tell you you're going to hell and they're a Christian. Maybe they should read their own book. Maybe they should go read Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged.
There is no hell. It was co-opted by the Romans. That's why it's called Roman Catholicism. The Romans co-opted it. Jesus never said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar and render to God what is God's. The Romans co-opted this. Christianity is a great choice, just as all other religions are. My dear friends, heaven is a celebration. Heaven is no religion. It is all religions and none. It is a celebration of all religions. But, you know, this is a very, very difficult time and a very special time. It's two edges of the sword. You get to decide who you are. But, you know, locking your churches and if you don't have communion in Christianity, communion is the locking in of the service. You have to take communion physically. Communion is living God on this earth, your communion with God and with the teacher Jesus. So if you can't take communion as a Christian, you don't have anything. And I don't care what anyone out there says. You have to take communion. It has to be physical. It cannot be on Zoom. And the doors cannot be locked. And shame on those who did lock their doors and did not take care of their brothers and sisters.
Almost all of the corporate religions locked their door. There were a few exceptions. You can go see the videos of the police banging down their door or trying to. Go ahead, Jason.
That's actually going to bring us to the top of hour one.
Ah, all right. Well, that is hour one of 583. We're going to take a short break. We've got a lot to go. There may actually be another episode for us to get through all the submitted questions. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crrow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episodes, and members get access to all the forums. They can create their own threads and forums, access to all comments areas, and they can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon, which has 10 awards in the world right now out on the circuit. And it covers all my previous telescope work. As for my present telescope work, that will only be posted at crow777radio.com for members. I will no longer put my work where it is censored or subject to the control of others. So far, I have started to learn, I think, that the sun we don't see is very often hidden behind the sun we do see. With that, we're going to take a short break, and I hope to see you logged in as a member for hour two. And I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.